To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.
From National Public Radio, it's Latino USA.
A man is putting a record on a record player.
On today's program, we revisit three of our favorite music interviews from the past year. Trombonist Steve Turay, Señor Coconut,
well, every ball for me is another game. For you, this always looks the same. Well, every ball for me is another game. For you, this always, always looks the same.
And Monareta.
He's telling records. A man is putting a record on a record player. A man is telling records.
It's all música popular coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us.
This is news from Latino USA. I'm Alex Avila. Sonia Sotomayor's confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court gives her about 8 weeks to prepare for the court's next term in October. Looking back, however, Latino leaders say the partisanship seen in the confirmation process could be a dark indication of politics to come. Sotomayor was confirmed by a simple majority of the Senate and received only a handful of support by Republicans. One of the Republicans who voted to confirm Sotomayor was outgoing Florida Senator Mel Martinez.
This is a decision that is complex. It is a lifetime appointment. It is a position that holds a tremendous amount of sway in our society and in the future of this country. And the one thing I do have very clear in my mind is the appropriate role that the Senate plays in this process. My job is not to select, but it is to confirm after due and deliberate consideration.
I am disappointed at the partisanship of this process, and I thought Senator Mel Martinez's statement hit this issue head on.
Arturo Vargas is executive director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, a nonpartisan leadership organization. He says Martinez's statements raised several important points.
One was that the Senate itself has become much more partisan in its evaluation of any president's judicial nominations. And he explained the role of the Senate as to provide advice and consent on nominations to the president. And he indicated that he completely expected that any nominee from President Obama would be somebody that would be much more liberal than he is. But that's the result of elections.
Many Latino political observers believe the highly partisan tone of the Sotomayor confirmation communicates to Latino voters that the Republican Party no longer cares about reaching out to them. Vargas says this is a major shift since 2004, when President Bush won re-election with more than one-third of the Latino vote. Bush appointed Senator Martinez as chairman of the Republican Party in 2006 to continue its Latino outreach. But growing anti-immigrant rhetoric coming from the conservative wing of the party disaffected many Latino voters. Martinez resigned as chairman of the Republican Party just as the 2008 presidential primaries were gearing up.
What does this mean in terms of Senator Martinez being pushed out of office by the conservative wing? I think the GOP needs to do some fundamental soul searching about, does it once again want to become a party of the majority in this country? Because it is not proceeding down in a fashion that is going to explain to the growing Latino electorate in this country that there is plenty of room under that tent for them. And if we look at the actions of the GOP in the past few years, particularly on the issues of immigration and now the Senate's action on this nomination, that's not really the case.
According to Angelo Falcon, president of the National Institute for Latino Policy, if Republicans were counting on a fractured Latino response to the Sotomayor confirmation vote, they should take note of an important lesson here.
One of the things that was a possible problem with Sotomayor politically, potentially, was the fact that she was Puerto Rican. She wasn't Mexican-American. The vast majority of the Latinos in this country are Mexican-American. So there was always a possibility of some Mexican-Americans saying, wait, the first Supreme Court justice should be a Mexican-American. that didn't happen. And I think that was encouraging, that you really saw a real kind of pan-Latino kind of consciousness emerging here.
Both Falcón and Vargas warned against Democrats falling into a false sense of security that Latinos were now firmly behind them. But both believe that a Latina on the Supreme Court now represents an important social and political advancement for the community. And the hope is such advancement doesn't end there.
There is no silver bullet. It's a series of things that kind of accumulate to the point where hopefully Latinos can feel that they're a part of this country and that we're getting a fair shake. I mean, unless we have comprehensive immigration reform, for example, we're talking about a big chunk of our community being totally disenfranchised. I don't think there can be much peace in the Latino community until that's resolved, and it's not clear what the heck is happening in that area. And the idea of having a Latino emerge as a possible candidate for national office, whether it's vice president or president down the road, is something that it looks like, right now we have a long way to go.
Vargas also believes that Latinos will finally take their proper place in this country once a Latino sits in the Oval Office. When pressed who that Latino might be, Vargas couldn't answer. But he added nobody believed 4 years ago that Barack Obama would be president today. For Latino USA, I'm Alex Avila. For more news, go to latinousa.org.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Listeners have consistently said that over the years, the music features we produce are one of their favorite parts of our program. Unfortunately, once the feature has been broadcast, we don't usually get to air it again on the radio. This week, we're going to fix that and play back three of our favorite interviews from the past year. From Chile, Señor Coconut. From Colombia, Monareta, and from my hometown, New York City, master trombonist Steve Turay. Musicians have a career that compares to master trombonist Steve Turay. He began playing music professionally when he was just 13 years old, and now, nearly 50 years later, innovation continues to define the body of Steve Turay's work. In addition to the trombone, Steve is also a band leader, teacher, composer, member of the Saturday Night Live band, but is perhaps best known for his unparalleled technique of incorporating the conch shell into modern music. Steve Turay now has a new album out, Rainbow People, and he joins me now in our studio. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Maria.
Good to see you. I'm always watching Saturday Night Live. I'm like, there's Steve. He's in the back. That's him. I got him with his goatee.
You see me for about that long.
Come on. It's Saturday Night Live. It's not
it's
bad.
It's fun. It's
you have
fun.
A great TV show that you work on. You have an amazing CD that I just started hearing it because, you know, I'm a jazz fanatic and I'm always listening to jazz radio. And every other day it was like, here's another hit from Steve Turay's new CD, Rainbow People. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the recording. You know, it came out more than I had hoped for.
Can you talk about the title cut, Rainbow People? Mm. What do you feel that you're trying to send? I mean, we know what you want to say, but when you try to take these thoughts about a rainbow people and actually put it into music, how do you do that as a musician? Do you visualize? Do you get quiet and then just, you know, feel a rhythm inside of you?
It was a process. You know, But I started out with the bass line, that came to me, which opens the piece. And then I put the chords to it, and then later I put the melody to it. But it had this feeling of strength and dignity, and it just made me think of humanity, you know, rainbow people. It's not about any one kind of people, it's about all of us, and we all got to get it together as one race, a human race. So this kind of the message of the song is for us to have unity as humanity, and it takes strength to do that. You have to give up your pettiness and all that stuff and think of what's best for all. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
You stay so rooted, and you know, I'm looking at what's hanging around your neck right there. You are kind of the opposite of the electronica music. You're about finding music in nature, and so around your neck is a beautiful silver seashell. Am I right?
Oro.
It's gold? Oh, dude, I got to try it. Oh, my God. Wow. A beautiful gold shell that you obviously wear a lot because it means what?
Well, that's for me, that's the sound of peace. That's what attracted me to this shell. When I was 18 and I worked with Rossan Roland Kirk, he had a shell. And he just blew a long note on it, but it was so peaceful. It made everyone in the club hold still. It made the air still. It made it calm. And, you know, I thought that was so beautiful.
Well, it's your turn now, Steve. You're the one who are, you're the leader now. I mean, you know that, right? You understand that.
I paid my dues. You know.
Yeah, you absolutely did. But you we remember that you're a Buddhist, which means that you do emanate this kind of like, I know. Follow me.
I'd be lost half the time.
You made it to the studio on time. All right, so people, if they're watching you on Saturday Night Live and they want to catch a glimpse of you, because I know people are going to love that. So you are usually like two rows back, right?
Yeah, I'm in the back when the guest host comes out to do the opening monologue and they open that door. I'm standing right beside the door blowing the trombone.
All right, folks, so remember, all you need to look for is the trombone or the goatee. Steve Touré, thank you so much for joining us back on Latino USA. Congratulations. I'm so proud of your music, and keep on going.
Well, thank you, Maria.
We were just about to let you go, and as you're, you know, picking up your hat and your scarf and everything like that, you picked up a shell, Steve, and I was hoping you had brought one. So you get to play for us. Now, you have actually changed up this shell. It's a medium-sized seashell.
Yeah.
But you've added...
Well, I make a mouthpiece, you know. I cut off the end, and I do it about the size of my trombone mouthpiece, so it's comfortable for me.
Give us an example.
Well, each shell has a primary tone. Then when you put your hand in it, it changes the pitch. It lowers the pitch. Then you can put that together and make a melody or make rhythms. And I use both approaches, something like this called Spirit Man.
So honored. I mean, now
I'm going to have a great weekend. I just got played the shell by the master.
My pleasure.
Steve Turay's new album is Rainbow People, available from High Note Records.
You may think that mambo is just a fun music that your parents danced to back in the 1950s. That is, unless you've experienced the mambo of Señor Coconut. Señor Coconut is actually a man of many different names and sounds. He's a well-known producer and DJ known as Adam, but he is also a German immigrant to Chile, whose real name is Uwe Schmidt. His latest work as Señor Coconut is the album Around the World. He joins me now from his studio in Santiago, Chile. Welcome to Latino USA, Adam.
Thank you.
In a lot of ways, you know, your album could be viewed in one sense as a cover album of some of the best of international pop, and yet you've taken it to this whole other level. You've made it very fresh. You made it very much yours. For example, that song, Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take something that is so instantly recognizable and make it different and yet stay true to the original feel. But
yeah,
you did an incredible job. We love that.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
All these songs I cover, they usually get stuck in my head. I don't buy music, actually. So I listen to a lot of music in public spaces like supermarkets or taxis or airplanes. In the case of Señor Coconut, they reappear in a certain new dress, I would say. Like Sweet Dreams, for example, is a song I had on my screen for, I would say, I just found an old notebook of mine, which had 10 years old notebook. And I found that name in that notebook. So it has been with me for many years.
And all of that just from riding in a taxi cab and hearing that song, and it sticks with you for 10 years.
Yeah.
Boy. So what really fascinates me about your music is that your story of creation in terms of this music, because you're an immigrant, and immigrants always experience this kind of multi-personality syndrome. So we become a different person in a new place, and yet we retain something of ourselves. So I'm wondering, here you are, this German immigrant living in Santiago, Chile, doing DJ music and electronica. So is that kind of how you feel in your life and in your music?
Actually, I think it has more to do with some kind of inherent homelessness in a bigger sense. To me, Chile is just another place, I would say. It's not, I mean, I feel comfortable here, but it could be anywhere, really. And the things I'm doing, they have more to do with a personal search than with a cultural search or with a bigger message or anything like that. So it's much more about it's like a personal obsession to explore different things and to live in different places. And that's actually why I wouldn't see myself or consider myself really being an immigrant, because I don't really feel like I've moved here to settle down here and assimilate in a certain way. I very much feel like not being part of anywhere. And also, I'm traveling a lot in general. Since I'm living here, I have family here and stuff like that. But actually, I feel the same wherever I go.
DJ Atom is Señor Coconut. His latest album is Around the World, available from Nacional Records. You'll find more of his music on our website, latinousa.org. And in a minute, freestyle con el sound system Moby. Music from Colombia's Monareta, coming up on Latino USA. Quédense con nosotros. Hi, it's me again. This podcast of Latino USA is made possible by contributors to public radio stations. They help pay the freight and cover the costs of making the program available to you to hear when it's convenient. If you're already a member of your public radio station, thanks. If you're not, I hope you'll rethink that decision and make a contribution to support this program and others like it. Visit us at latinousa.org to find a public radio station near you and join the ranks of El Pueblo que Escucha Latino USA. Also, great opportunities exist for companies and organizations to reach the Latino USA audience online, on air, and through these weekly podcasts. If you're interested in having a tremendous impact on the production of this program, consider underwriting Latino USA. For more information, visit us at latinousa.org/support. And thanks for listening. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Wherever you find concrete curbs or rails, you're sure to see teens on skateboards and bikes freestyling and performing tricks. It's a big scene for teens, not only in this country, but also throughout Latin America. In Colombia, Andrés Martínez and Camilo Sanabria had their own version of the BMX bike. It's called the Monareta. So when Andrés and Camilo decided to form a band in 2003, it was only natural to name their group after their favorite bike. Monareta has a new album out, Picotero, and I'm joined now by Andrés Martínez and Camilo Sanabria of Monareta. Welcome to Latino USA, guys.
Hello, Maria. How are you doing? Hello, people. Okay, how's everything going out there?
Hello there.
So you guys are actually in your studio in Bogotá, Colombia. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
But sometimes you spend some time in Brooklyn, New York City, so you're kind of border crossers in that way, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, sometimes we get gigs or we go to visit some friends there in Brooklyn and, well, hang out around New York and watch the music scene there as well.
Yeah, we are kind of like a mobile sound system.
So I have to say that I was a little perplexed when I first got this album because... when people see the cover of it, they'll see the two of you wearing helmets that are topped with like a spinning bicycle wheel. And then, of course, I started reading and I was like, oh, these guys actually are both freestyle bike champs. So what would you say is the relationship between your music and the world of freestyle biking?
We kind of improvise and freestyle in that way, in that particular way. And through time, we started like crafting forms, crafting songs, and that's how we got to this final adventure of Monareta.
Yeah, well, the relationship between these bicycles and the music is this. The BMX involves freestyling, as Andres was saying, and the whole thing about the bicycles in the 80s, the sounds are involved in our music.
Well, I want to talk about cycling a little bit more, but really I want to give our listeners a chance to hear some of your music.
A man is putting a record on a record player. It's 8 o'clock in the evening. Where are the people?
Record store.
The name of your CD is Picotero. Picotero, I mean, I was like, you know, picotero, somebody who's picking at something, you know, but or a bird that's maybe kind of like a woodpecker kind of thing. But actually in Colombia, picotero, oh, I love what the picoteros are. Tell our audience what picoteros are.
Picotero comes from a slang way to name pickup truck on the coast of Colombia.
A pickup truck.
A pickup truck, like a pickup, you know.
Picotero, I love
so
it.
So they call the DJs that put music on these pickup trucks DJs picoteros. So these trucks are very popular, and these are the mobile sound systems that we are.
In South America,
there are a lot of records. I have a lot of records.
These trucks, you can park there and you open the doors and you start to play music. And that happens all the time. It can be pretty annoying.
He's getting up.
It's 7:30.
He's eating breakfast.
It's 7:45.
He's driving his car. He's going to work in his car.
Yeah, it's so interesting because so many people think of Colombia and they...
have images of a lot of, you know, war and a lot of conflict and a lot of crime. And what we don't hear enough of is there's Colombia is also a country of a tremendous spirit and life. I mean, you find it everywhere in every city that you go, in Medellin, in Bogota, in Cartagena, the ones that I've been to. And I think that you capture that also in your music. There is like a real joyful party sense that goes on there. But let's talk for a second about the song Matanza Funk, because it's like an anthem of resistance. Resistance to whom, what, and why?
Yeah, actually, well, what happens with Matanza Funk is that, you know, it has like three characters.
Yes, it's a radio.
Hello, Norteamérica, lo siento, Narcoamérica, al sur reviento, un boicot, conspiración, cambié mi chamarra, colgué el uniforme, ya no hago parte de ese informe, tómalo por detrás, súbalo por detrás, ja, el adversario no da igual, NN ha sido bautizado.
The first character is like this voice speaking, well, like this straight, you know, like voice that says 7 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock. It's like the lifestyle of a very straight person, you know, that, well, nothing happens in its life or something like that. And the other characters are the ones that suffer, you know, but all this suffering comes, like, from the news. So the first, when you hear the first MC, you just hear that he's talking about drugs and he's talking about the problems, you know, that well, people suffer today in the world. And the second MC, you know, he claims about immigration, so he's trying like to look for another place to live, and he doesn't want to be bothered if he's an immigrant. So those are like the three, you know, stages of the song.
It's a window.
So finally, how big is BMX or Monareta or wild style biking down there in Bogota? Is it a Bogota thing? Is it across the country? Is it really urban, or is it coming to the small towns and villages in Colombia as well?
Well, actually, we have every Sunday, you know, like a special day for bikes. So everyone rides their own bike every Sunday. So Bogota is full of bikes. That's like a very, very nice day because, well, there's no smog, there's no pollution. And everybody, well, goes there out with their families.
This is talking about the ciclovías. The streets are closed for cars, and they you can only go by foot or by bicycle.
Thank you so much to both of you in Monareta.
Oh, we really appreciate the interview, and thank you so much. And, well, a big hug to all of you.
Igualmente, chao, chao.
Andrés Martínez and Camilo Sanabria are Monareta. Their new album, Picotero, is available from Nacional Records. To see a picture of a Monareta bicycle and to hear more of their music, go to our website, latinousa.org. And for this week, this has been Latino USA. Thanks for listening. Latino USA is produced by Walter Morgan, Mincho Jacob, Angela Maldonado, Alex Avila, and Katie Davis. Our executive producer is Sean Collins. To listen to our podcasts, go to latinousa.org or look for us on iTunes. Production support for Latino USA comes from KUT Radio, the Center for Mexican American Studies, the University of Texas at Austin, the William and Salome Scanlon Foundation of Austin and San Antonio, and the Marguerite Casey Foundation. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR is provided by Frederica and Howard Stevenson, helping low-income students access education through the Summer Search Foundation at summersearch.org. By the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, presenting an in-depth look at the digital generation at edutopia.org. And by Lumber Liquidators, supporter of the National Braille Press and Ronald McDonald House Charities, hardwood flooring catalogs at 1-800-HARDWOOD. This is NPR, National Public Radio. To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.